Turn your Bibles to Galatians 5. That's where we're going to be. Let's pray first.
I mean, you can flip there, but I'm going to pray.
Holy Spirit, we love you. We thank you for this sweet 10 time in your presence. And we ask that you would just increase it in here, wave upon wave, that just as your word says, grace upon grace, let there be a multiplying effect, or let there be a tangible presence in here today. We pray for a spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of you. And I pray for a grace to be released as the word is shared, to actually walk it out, to not hear but do. Well, we thank you. Thank you for your presence in Jesus' name. Amen. I want to talk to you about my best friend. It's not Tabitha, though she's amazing. I want to talk to you about my best friend, the Holy Spirit. There was a point in when Tabby and I first got married, we were at a small little church called Bethel in Redding, California. Yeah, tiny. They barely can keep the lights on. So, we used to live right by the church, about a mile away. I remember it was almost exactly a mile from the front of our house to the front door of the church. And so they have this hill that goes all the way up to the building. And I remember walking there every night. I would just go on a walk. And I was just so hungry for what, I just wanted to hear from God. In fact, most of the stuff that I share now, the Holy Spirit showed me in that season. I remember one time telling the Holy Spirit, I said, Holy Spirit, I want to be the best friend that you've ever had on the earth. That was the sentiment of my heart. I want to be the best friend that you've ever had on the earth. We have this relationship where we like to joke with each other, and he said, even more so than Jesus? And I said, well, you said I would do greater things, so I'm just saying. I don't know if that messed with your theology or not, but it's not a definitive statement. Then I said, I want a relationship with you that even Jesus would be jealous of, and he said, that might be too far. So, I love the Holy Spirit, and my desire for you today is that you would just connect in a deeper way. You cannot do this Christian life, not even one bit of it, without relationship with the Holy Spirit. I think one of the biggest deceptions that we tend to fall into as believers is that we tend to think or call on the help of the Holy Spirit when we need him for healing or for deliverance or when we're in a pinch. You need the Holy Spirit to get out of bed in the morning, let alone to produce fruit. And so I want to talk to you from Galatians 5 about the fruit of the Spirit. And I'm not going to get out a felt board and tell you all the different ones and what they mean. We're just going to read it and go. Sound good to you? Okay. Now, I'm usually fairly expository. Usually, I go verse by verse, but that's not what I'm going to do today. Sorry. All right. Galatians 5, verse 16 says, "But I say, walk by the Spirit, and you will not carry out the desire of the flesh." Galatians 5 is written about life in the Spirit. In fact, most of the New Testament is written under the assumption that you're doing this thing in partnership with the Holy Spirit. Like, it's written with the assumption that if you're a believer, you're doing this thing with the infilling of the Holy Spirit. Because a lot of the things that the New Testament asks you to do are not possible unless you have God himself living inside of you. In fact, There's a point where Jesus said, I have so many things to tell you, but you can't bear them right now. He literally said, I have so many things to tell you, but you literally cannot handle it. There's too much. There's too much goodness. And then he says, but when the helper comes, then he will lead you into all truth. And so Jesus was literally saying to his disciples, I have so much to unpack for you and so much to download into your heart that I'm literally going to have to put myself inside of you for you to be able to handle and have the capacity to handle what it is that I'm trying to speak to you. Like, what God has for you is so heavy that he has to hold it himself inside of you. If you are, man, I'm convinced if anybody is bored in Christianity, they just don't know the Holy Spirit. That's the conclusion I come to. Galatians 5:16, I say, walk by the Spirit and you will not carry out the desire of the flesh. I prayed this week. I'm like, Lord, just burn that into my brain. Burn it into my heart. Walk by the Spirit and you will not carry out the desires of the flesh. You know, we tend to think that if the desire's there, that must mean I haven't arrived yet. But it doesn't say you won't have desires of the flesh. It says you won't carry out the desires of the flesh. I'm going to tell you something. As long as you're a human, you're going to have desires of the flesh. But the promise is not that he will just take all desire away. The promise is that you won't carry it out. I don't know about you, but that causes me to throw a whole lot of faith and throw myself at the mercy of the Holy Spirit. Because the Bible promised me if I will walk by the Spirit, I won't carry it out. Doesn't say I won't have them. Says I won't carry it out. Let's go to verse 17. The flesh sets its desire against the Spirit and the Spirit against the flesh, for these are in opposition to one another so that you may not do the things that you please. But if you are led by the Spirit, you are not under the law. I'm not going to talk about the law today. I know you're probably surprised about that. But I think 18 just says it pretty much by itself. If you are led by the Spirit, you are not under the law. It seems pretty definitive to me, but I don't know. You read your own Bible, it's fine. Now, the deeds of the flesh are evident, which are immorality, impurity, sensuality. I find it interesting that the first three that it mentions are sexual in nature. Boy, is our country confused. The funny thing is, though, we expect the world to act like us. How will they produce fruit other than this if they don't have the Spirit of God? Anyway, the deeds of the flesh are evident, which are immorality, impurity, sensuality, idolatry, sorcery, enmities, strife, jealousy, outbursts of anger, disputes, dissensions, factions, envying, drunkenness, carousing, and things like these. I think carousing is a funny word. I don't know. Whew, okay, get back to the Bible. And things like these, of which I forewarn you, just as I have forewarned you, that those who practice such things will not inherit the kingdom of God. And here's where it's going to start getting really good, because that part's really depressing. I don't know about any of you, but that part depresses me. 22 says, but the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such things, there is no law. Now, those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. If we live by the Spirit, let us also walk by the Spirit. Let us not become boastful, challenging one another, envying one another. I've had this thought before, but it the last 2 weeks has resonated with me. I've basically read Galatians 5 and Romans 8 for the last 2 weeks. That's all I've read in my Bible because I can't get away from them. But do we realize that this list says the fruit of the Spirit? I know this is going to sound way too obvious, but this list says, but the fruit of the Spirit, as in fruit, the fruit of the Spirit. It did not say these things are a result of your effort. it says the fruit of the Spirit. And my eyes were just like, I've seen it before, and then I just saw it again, fresh. Like, Grant, do you realize that this says fruit? Do you realize that? That this says fruit? Because I don't know about you, but when I read this list, most of the time, my humanness takes over, and I read the love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, and I go through the list, and I think to myself, this is the first thought I usually have is, I got to work on my patience. I really need to grow in gentleness. Or I find something in myself that's opposite to this list, and I think, I really got to work on that, or I really got to pray about that. And then what I forget is that the list says, this is the fruit of the Spirit. We get confused between fruit and root. See, a root is what comes first, and then there's fruit. But we look at the fruit and try to produce it without the root that produces the fruit. You know what I'm saying? Like, you read this list and you're like, oh, gentleness is one of those. I gotta try to be more gentle. And then what you do is you try through your own effort to work on your gentleness. And then you get this reminder, like maybe a day later, sometimes an hour later, sometimes 5 minutes later, hey, stupid, this is not your fruit. This is not the fruit of the flesh. This is not the fruit of the effort. This is the fruit of the Spirit. And as long as you are the one trying to produce the fruit, you're going to get a hefty reminder that you are not capable of producing this fruit because it is the fruit of the Spirit. And so through my own effort, I read this list and I'm like, I gotta get better at this. I may be the only one. I don't know. I have a feeling I'm not. But you read the, how many of you have that one on the list that you're kind of like, that's the one I got to grow in? And the funny thing about it is there's parts of that list that I actually think that I do well. And then as soon as I think I do well at them, the Holy Spirit's like, oh, by the way, you can't produce this fruit by yourself. Here's your reminder. Right? Having children will show you how much of the fruit of the Spirit is in operation in your life. I know that feels like antithetical to everything that we've been taught. It's been all like, kids, children are a blessing, and they are amazing. I love my kids. But sometimes what they are is a mirror of how much of this list I'm not modeling right now. I have this really great news for you. I have really great news for you. You are horribly, hopelessly beyond the capability of producing this fruit. I mean, you are so far beyond what it takes to produce this fruit. And that's it. That's my message. No. So whether it's the fruits or the gifts of the Spirit, not a single one of them is a result of effort. Not a single one of them is a result of work. That's why it's called gifts and fruit. Fruit happens naturally because it's planted. Trees don't sit there and just be like, apple, right? For some reason, that reminded me of Wizard of Oz, you know, when the trees chuck the apples and they're so grumpy. Maybe that's a picture of us without the Spirit of God, the fruit. Okay. It's so weird, though, because I have been preaching grace and living this life of letting the Spirit move through me and being baptized in the Holy Spirit, and still, every single day, I have to fight the urge to try to be a good Christian. How many of you know what I'm talking about? I'm not saying being a good Christian is a bad thing. What I'm saying is I have to fight the urge to try to make it happen. And the Bible's like, by the way, this is a fruit. Did you know obedience is a fruit? It's not a root. Obedience is the fruit of right believing. We think we have to obey and then God will bless. He's saying, no, you got to believe and you'll obey. Okay. The way that this kind of tends to manifest, how many of you have said this phrase? And I'm not saying that you can't ever say this phrase, but we say this phrase, yeah, God's really dealing with me on this one. Like you read this list and you're like, man, my patience has been really thin. Yeah, God's really dealing with me on this. God's dealt with me before. But 9 times out of 10, when I say that phrase, really what I'm saying is I've been looking at what it takes to produce this fruit and trying to do it on my own, and my conscience is condemning me, and I'm calling it God. Man, our conscience sometimes, your conscience, because if you look to this, if you look to this list and say, I have to produce that, you know what will happen? Your conscience will show you when you don't. And then your conscience is like, hey, you didn't do it. And then we go, that must be God. And your conscience is like, no, I'm your conscience and just letting you know. So we think as if God is hanging over us, like just ready to slap. He's like, he wasn't gentle. So I'm going to demonstrate my gentleness, right? If we're honest with ourselves, we try to manifest these things and then beat ourselves up when we don't. At least that's how it works for me most of the time. Or I tend to separate these things and go, like in one season, I'll be like, oh, it's all about faithfulness. And I'll try to grow in faithfulness and then forget at the same time, like, yeah, gentleness matters too. Some of you husbands need to hear gentleness matters too. Some of you wives need to hear gentleness matters too. You know what I'm saying? Some of us men, we don't have a gentle bone in our body. That's okay, because it's not your fruit anyway. Get filled with the Holy Spirit, right? So I try to juggle all these things, and I throw one up in the air, and I throw one up in the air, and then I'm like, oh yeah, but this one matters too, and then I drop that one, and the Holy Spirit's saying, listen, this is a fruit of me. All you do is embrace me. I'll produce all of them. You have one thing to grab, me. If you're the one juggling this fruit, you're always going to drop it. Embrace me, and I will produce the fruit. You don't plant a banana tree and expect oranges to come out, right? It doesn't make sense. We sow flesh seed and expect to reap spiritual fruit. It doesn't make sense. Effort junkies, how many of you are an effort junkie? Like you're like, I'm going to get this thing done. I will get it done. It will happen. I'm learning because we're doing some stuff to our house. I used to be very like, shove the board in place, drill it in, and it's done. You know what I mean? Seriously, how many of you, you're just like, I'm getting this lawn mowed, whether it kills me. And you're just like, argh! You know? I'm learning this thing where the Holy Spirit's like, what if you slowed down and like measured twice? What if you were just gentle about it? Because I'm an effort junkie. I'm like, anybody that's ever, we used to do these work days. We had the church. We do these work days where we'd work on the church. And people were like, Grant, you got to stop. I would chug a Red Bull, have a midday Red Bull. It'd be almost midnight. People are like, I got to go home. You know, we have church in the morning. And I'm like, let's tear out this wall and drink another one. And I'd start tearing out a wall. And people are like, you just have to let him go. You just got to leave. Because I was crazy. I'm dead serious. I was that crazy. But I'm an effort junkie. I'm crazy. But that works against me in the spirit. Because I want to try to produce this fruit because I produced it. Because I'm like, yeah, I worked really hard on my faithfulness. Now I'm more faithful. And as long as that is the route that I'm taking to produce the fruit, I will continually get the gentle reminder, I am incapable of producing this fruit. Let's read the list again. The fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such things there is no law, because there doesn't need to be. Okay, so love is the greatest commandment, right? Without love, I am a noisy gong, a clanging cymbal. Without love, nothing matters what I do, and it's a fruit. I don't know about you, when I read 1 Corinthians 13, and it talks about without love, I'm basically nothing. And then I'm like, oh, I need to be more loving. And then I read this list, and I'm like, oh yeah, it's a fruit. Right? Patience. I'm not going to go through all of them. Just highlighting a few, the ones that seem to stick out to me. Patience. How many of you, when you hear the concept of patience, what you think is you need to grin and bear and just work on your patience? See, the moment you decide, I'm going to work on my patience, guess what happens? You get the opportunity to work on your patience. And then I read this list and I look at it and guess what? Patience is a fruit. It's a fruit. Self-control. 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 You know, self-control is not an act of the will. It's a fruit of the Spirit. Do you know what I find hilarious? We have to have someone else in order to have self-control. It's a fruit of the Spirit. So in other words, it being a fruit of the Spirit is an admission to you, you can't create it. Because if it's a fruit of the Spirit, that means you need the Spirit in order to have self-control. I literally need someone else to control myself. Is that baffling anybody else? Like, who's worked on their self-control? How's that working out for you? I just noticed this week as I was reading through this list, I guess there was two of them that I forgot, but goodness and faithfulness, they're on the list. Do you ever blow through these lists and don't pay attention to what's actually in them, in the Bible? And then you're like, oh, that's there. So goodness and faithfulness are there. Do you know faithfulness is a fruit? Goodness is a fruit? There's supposed to be a moment in eternity when I go stand and see Jesus face to face, and what are the words that I want to hear him say to me? Well done, good and faithful servant. How on earth am I going to stand before him and hear those words if I don't have a thriving relationship with the Holy Spirit? He's the one who produces that fruit. So if I have goodness and faithfulness within me, it's a fruit of the Holy Spirit in me. In fact, we set people up for failure quite a bit when we tell them, these are the words you're going to want to hear in eternity when you see Jesus face to face, and then we don't introduce them to the one who actually produces that fruit. Faithfulness to me is one of the most difficult ones to not try to do in my strength. Because I want to prove my loyalty. If you want to know how that works, call Peter. No, Jesus, even if everyone denies you, everyone, I never. And Jesus is like, ooh, Peter, man, you were doing so good. I'm going to have to give you a gentle reminder later on. My hope for you today is that you would just give up and let go. Just let go of the reins. Psalm 46, verse 10 says, be still and know that I am God. And the original language is translated like this, cease striving and know that I am God. Meaning, stop. Stop grasping. I gotta be faithful. I gotta be a good Christian. I gotta do what mommy and daddy said. I gotta, right? How many of you really have this earnest desire to be a good Christian? Then stop. Then stop trying to be a good Christian. That sounds terrible, doesn't it? All I'm trying to tell you is that you're not going to produce that fruit through effort. That fruit is produced in you through a life-giving relationship with the Holy Spirit. And in fact, the fruit comes out at the weirdest times where I would think in the natural, in that situation, I have no reason to be patient. I have zero reason. I'm like, if I stepped outside my body and watched a scenario, I'm like, I know how Grant reacts to that. And then in the moment, I'm like, why am I being so nice right now? That's how fruit works. It's not an effort of working hard. Like,
about to have a hard conversation with the wife.
Fruit. Right? Jesus came to demonstrate to us not what could be accomplished through effort, but what it could look like if somebody was fully submitted to the Spirit of God. He laid aside his majesty, his divinity completely, and showed us what it was like for a human to be so influenced by the Spirit of God that he could change the world. Not effort, the Spirit. John 15 says, this will hammer it home for you. If you haven't come to believe yet that you can't produce this fruit, I want you to hear it from Jesus' lips, okay? Not mine, just John 15. You ready? See what it says? It says, I am the vine, you are the branches. He who abides in me and I in him, he bears much fruit. For apart from me, you can do nothing. Who needed that smack on the head today? Hey, I'm the vine. You're the branches. Just stick with me. You'll bear fruit. Apart from me, though, you suck. I know I shouldn't say that word, but seriously, right? Here's your gentle reminder. Apart from me, you're not going to bear anything. I looked it up, that verse in the original language yesterday, and the nothing there is actually two words, and they both mean nothing. So he's like, apart from me, you can do nothing. Like not just a little bit of nothing, like nothing. Like double negative nothing. So if it's not effort, how do we replace this desire in us? How do we replace this desire in us to produce this fruit? What do we do? Right? My prayer for you today is that effort would be replaced with intimacy. Intimacy from the beginning of time was designed to create fruit. I'm going to say that again. Intimacy from the beginning of time was designed to create fruit. Literally, the phrase that God said to Adam and Eve when they, you know, knew each other. Was be fruitful and multiply. Intimacy is the process through which God produces fruit. God is not asking you to try harder. He's like, it's like that Geico commercial. Oh, you almost had it. Right, like faithfulness, like, it's there, I got it. Oh, you almost had it. Try a little harder next time. No, the Holy Spirit's like, I want intimacy with you. I'll take care of the fruit. You just get close to me. You embrace me, I'll produce the fruit. That word in Galatians 5 for fruit, one of the definitions for it is literal offspring, as in like babies, like offspring. Just Just think it's funny that we've been talking about babies all day. God's just saying, get intimate with me and you'll carry my fruit. The Bible says, work out your salvation with fear and trembling. How many of you know that verse? The context that it's usually given to us in is whenever you're going through a situation that really stinks. And they're like, oh, you just got to work out your salvation with fear and trembling. Right? Just tough it out. Pull yourself up by the bootstraps. Bear this thing. You're working out your salvation with fear and trembling. And then we don't finish the verse. Because it says, for it is God who is at work in you, both to will and to work for his good pleasure. In other words, God's not going to ask you to work out something he's not working in you. He always moves first. Or like Paul said, I lay hold of that for which I was laid hold of. There's three ingredients. This is from psychology, so we'll tie it back together. But there's three main ingredients to intimacy: exposure, response, and curiosity. Those are the three main ingredients of intimacy. Exposure, as in, here's my heart. If you're a husband and wife, here's my body, right? Here's the deepest parts of me, right? And there are many different types and many different levels of intimacy, but the ingredients remain the same: exposure, response, and curiosity. Every single interaction you have with the people that you love is working to either build intimacy or to take away from intimacy. Every interaction. And God desires intimacy with us. What I mean by exposure is this is the bearing of my heart, and whatever the response is will reassure what I've let out. Okay, so when I share the deepest, darkest things in my heart with my wife and she responds with prayer, with love, with grace, do you know what that does? It creates a greater bond between the two of us because there's been an exposure and there's been a response. And the third ingredient is curiosity, which means I actually have to care and want to know. So part of intimacy is not just exposure response, but it's like I actually have to ask, how are you? Right? That curiosity opens the door for exposure and response. So translate that to the Holy Spirit. There's this psalm, and I have a really hard time saying it without crying, so just bear with me. It's Psalm 5, and I read it in the Passion Translation. And it says, every morning I lay out the pieces of my life before you and wait for your fire to fall on my heart. And if you look at the ingredients of that, that's exposure and response. And I wonder if sometimes we just, we don't get a response because there's no exposure. Or we don't get an answer because there's no curiosity. And the Holy Spirit is just, I believe, wooing you into this relationship. Well, you'll set aside your efforts to produce this fruit and just get to know him. Psalm 27, one thing I have asked of the Lord. It's hard to have intimacy without questions. Jesus told his disciples, ask me anything. How many of you the Lord has ever asked you a question? You want to know something I love about him? He never asks a question because he doesn't know the answer. He always asks a question to open up the possibility of intimacy. And you, if you're going to keep going in this thing, if you're going to keep going and running well, you have to have intimacy with the Holy Spirit. Either that, or you're going to be a lifeless body occupying a church seat. There has to be moments of intimacy that mark you forever. There has to be. I remember whenever I first started to get to know the Holy Spirit, I was so hungry just to have His touch. And I went golfing, which is not for me. It doesn't produce the fruit of the Spirit. It does not. I was golfing with Larry and with my brother-in-laws. And I remember when we got there, I was like, I had just, in this season of my life, I just wanted the Holy Spirit so bad. And I was just like, I have to go to the bathroom. I didn't actually have to go to the bathroom. I went into this porta potty. I'm serious. I went into this porta potty and I just opened up my heart to Him. And He showed up in the porta potty, and I'm crying, and I'm like, I got to pull it together because I've got to go golf. But I was so hungry to just like, Holy Spirit, I just want Your presence. I just want to know You. And there has to be moments, there has to be these private, intimate moments where you both know that you're one. Or you're not going to produce this fruit. I hate to break it to you. If you want me to remind you of the words of Jesus, you can do nothing, nothing. And I talk confidently about the Holy Spirit like I know Him because I do. I can confidently stand before you and say, I've talked to the Holy Spirit, and the Holy Spirit's talked to me. And we have moments together that people will never know about. It's our little secret, but that's what makes our relationship strong. Listen, the reason you have a quiet time is not because it's some religious requirement. God's not like counting the quiet times that you've missed or not missed or how many hours or anything like that. The reason you have a quiet time is because sometimes intimacy requires privacy. And God is, He's asking, I want to be alone with you. I have things to tell you, and I have ways to show my love to you, and I don't want anyone else around. If you are married, you know what I'm talking about. Please don't stumble over me equating this, okay? You know what I'm talking about. When you look across the room and you know what the other one's thinking? Some of you went somewhere else there. But there is a level of intimacy where words aren't even required. There's a level of intimacy where you know what a touch means. Am I right? You can't have that with a stranger. And I'm telling you something. I know the Holy Spirit will touch me in specific ways, and I know exactly what He's saying, and He never has to say a word. There are times where I know the Holy Spirit will touch my right hand in such a way I will know it's time to pray for healing. And He doesn't have to say a word to me. I just know. And what I'm inviting you into is this relationship with the Holy Spirit where words aren't even required. Because if you're going to produce this fruit that we so, I mean, who wants to produce the list? Who wants to have that kind of fruit? I'm telling you, this is the way that it's produced. Intimacy alone. You cannot read enough books. This is the context for fruitfulness. Because here's the thing. If God's really working on you, if He really is working on you in intimate times, He can't help but be fruitful. He doesn't know any different. God doesn't know barrenness. In the natural, we get crops at a certain time of year. We get fruit at a certain time of year. We get all that. If you look at the way heaven works, the trees bear fruit in every season. Go read Revelation 22. The tree of life is connected to the river of life, and it bears fruit in every season. I don't know about you, but I want to be heaven-like. If you are not seeing the hope, if you're not seeing the joy, if you're not seeing the love, the joy, the peace, the patience, the kind, all of that, if you're not seeing it, I promise you, effort isn't the answer. You can try. You can try hard. Knock yourself out. You will knock yourself out, actually. Seriously. Do your best. But when you get tired of that, intimacy is the answer. Pentecost Sunday is next Sunday. Do you know that? Think about how intimate God is. Part of intimacy is the exchange of information between two parties, right? And God's like, I love you so much that I'm going to create a language that only you and I can interchange. Speaking of tongues, if you don't know what I'm talking about. This time of year for me is always a reminder how much I just desire the Holy Spirit. And Randy's been beating this drum for months. He's been like, guys, it's Holy Spirit, right? How many times has he said that in the last 15 messages, right? And I'm thankful for it. Because the point that we're trying to drive home here is, it's not going to happen because you were a good little boy or girl. You're not going to produce this fruit. I'll give you a cheesy church saying, you don't bear fruit because you tried. You bear fruit because you abide. I died too, though. There's a real tenderness, like a tangible tenderness right now, and I just want to respond to it. Okay? Holy Spirit, we sense you brooding over us just like you did over the waters at creation. And now I pray, Lord, even at Pentecost, as there was something happening corporately and yet individually, every person was touched specifically to themselves, that they had an individual experience and a corporate experience. I pray right now, Holy Spirit, that just as you're here corporately, that you would rest on every single person right now, that you would speak to their heart the words they need to hear, that you would show them and demonstrate to them how your desire is burning red hot for them, how you want them, how you long to bear fruit in them. James even says he jealously desires the Spirit that dwells within you. The King James says he lusteth to envy. He is so hungry and so ready to have intimacy with you. And don't even get caught up in the fruit part that I was talking about at the beginning. He doesn't just want relationship with you so he can create fruit through you. It's not just a transactional thing. He wants to have intimacy with you because he loves you. And the byproduct of that is that fruit happens to happen. So I want you If you're able, just put your hands out. And whatever it takes, get your heart in a posture of receiving. And I believe right now, the Holy Spirit is going to speak to you individually. Come, Holy Spirit. We invite you. Do your work. Do what only you can do. Lord, we cease striving right now, and we know that you're God, and this fruit is your fruit, not ours. So come and know us, and let us know you. Come work in us,